that we're finally going to finish. Rabbi Yeshua's final midah. Spoke about an ayin hara, thank you. About a yetzer hara. And his final midah. And notice Rabbi Yeshua speaks about three dangerous midahs. Ayin hara, yetzer hara, v'sinas habrios, motzin esadu me'olam. So what is sinas habrios? There's a fancy English word for it. It's called misanthropy. Misanthropy is someone who doesn't like human beings. And he's telling us about the dangers of that type of hatred, that type of cynicism, that type of dislike of humanity. And of course, the healthy or noble trait is to be a lover of human beings, to be an oev hasabrios. Because I'll say that Aharon HaKohen was an oev hasabrios. What's interesting is that we never really see Aharon's universal oev hasabrios. He doesn't get a chance to show it. He was an oev am Yisrael, but the language isn't just Ohev Am Yisrael, but Ohev Es Habrios, who loved human beings. So evidently, from the example of Aharon, your Ahavas Habrios is necessary to be an Ohev Yisrael. Namely, your love for a Jew can't just be built on a common destiny and a common belonging to a chosen people and receiving Hashem's Torah and performance of mitzvos, but you also have to love human beings and then channel that love that you have for human beings into a unique and more intimate and more intense love for Jews, in part because they're human beings, in part because they're human beings that have much in common with you. But they can't come to the exclusion of Ovis Hebrios in general. So it's fascinating that Chazal referred to Aharon HaKohen as Ovis Hebrios, though we don't really see him interacting with non-Jews too frequently with Paro, and then he certainly didn't express Ahava to Paro. Now, why should a person be Ovis Hebrios? What's the driving force behind Ahavas Habrios? So Rabbi Yeshua obviously didn't say much. He just talked about the negativity and the danger of Sinas Habrios. But the Avos Rav Nasan perhaps provides two approaches, and they're each important as complementary approaches. One is a simple innate approach. You share a lot in common with human beings. You're both living. You both inhabit this planet. You have common destinies, common fates, common backgrounds. Essentially to appreciate other people's humanity, to view. You're in touch with your own humanity, which is an important trait in life, to be in touch with your own identity, to realize whom you are, how frail you are. It's called graciousness. The older you get, the more you realize how much you share with other people. And that's why older people tend to be a little bit more temperate and moderate, less radical, less violent, less, because you appreciate life and you value life and you value other people's life as you are, the more you've lived it. And you're not always, but you tend to be more appreciative of other people. So there's a humanistic element to loving other people, that you just share this world with other human beings and you recognize the common between yourself and others, and you appreciate and you respect that common. But in the end of this Mishnah, the conclusion of the Mishnah quotes, it's quoted by the Tanakhama and then by Shimon ben Elazar, V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, ani Hashem berasiv, I created him. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, b'shah shel gedula ne'emar davar zeh. This is a great statement. Shenemar v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, ani Hashem berasiv. This is a very dramatic statement to apply v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha to non-Jews. Typically, we feel that v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha only applies to Jews. Oseh ma'isereus, who behaves very similar to you, who could be called your religious or ideological friend. But in this Mishnah, or in this context at least, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who applied v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha to everyone, to all brios, not just the Jews. It seems from the simple reading of the Mishnah. And that provides an entirely different motivation to love other human beings, because you sense that everyone is a tzelem elokim, and one is a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everyone is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the tzelem elokim means basically everything that makes a human. Consciousness, emotions, dreams, psychology, creativity, everything that an animal doesn't have a soul. Tzelem Elokim. So that's a different reason that you try to love human beings and respect them. That's just because you sense a common, you're both in it together, you both share same types of trajectories and experiences, because you're able to see that every single person has a Tzelem Elokim, and every single person is a creation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Akiva, famous Rabbi Akiva, who actually said, "V'after the Recha Kamocha Zokla Gadol Batara," and presumably he meant about Jews. That's the typical way the Rebbe Akiva statement is interpreted. Nonetheless, Rebbe Akiva said in a different Mishnah quoted in Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, every human being has a Tzelem Elokim, Chaviv Yisrael Shenikru Banim. The Jews have a unique status because they are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's affectionate children. Hashem takes them with unique affection. But your love for Jews can't in any way sour you. Sometimes in today's world, a lot of Jewish communities and a lot of Jewish people can be very insular, very inward-turning, which is good in many ways. But sometimes it creates a distaste or disinterest and even a xenophobia for others, as if other people are meaningless and their place on this earth has no value, and there are 4 billion people that inhabit the earth and they're just straw figures, they're just props. And the real experiences in the Jewish community and the Jewish, it's really not in the spirit of what Rabbi Akiva said, it's not in the spirit of what Rav Shimon ben Elazar said. So there are two reasons to be an Ohev HaSabrios. Number one, because you just share and sense the common in other human beings. Number two, because you sense the Tzelem Elokim, and you're able to apply, as Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, B'Shah Shel Gedula. This is a very important statement, applying the after the Re'ach HaKamacha to non-Jews. And what's interesting is when the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot interprets Sin HaSabrios, it's a very different interpretation. He doesn't talk about the emotion and the attitude, he talks about the behavior. The Rambam says, you should live with people, you should live in a community, you shouldn't be lonely, you shouldn't be solitary, you shouldn't be a hermit, you shouldn't be reclusive. You should live with people, live in society. The importance of having social consciousness, of contributing to society, of having friends, of having community, of just living with people. Now, in many ways, the Rambam statement is not as ambitious as the simple reading. The simple reading is not just behaviorally, but attitudinally. Not just where you should live, but what your attitude should be. So maybe the Rambam is saying, even if you don't love human beings, and not everyone can love every single human being, many human beings disappoint you, anger you, infuriate you, even if you can't be Ohev HaSabrios, and you can, maybe you tilt towards Sin HaSabrios, you dislike someone, but that shouldn't sour your social experience. You should still try to live with people. Some people may not be able to generate or conjure love for other human beings, but because of morality, social contract, social responsibility, recognizing practically the need for community and society, they live in society respectfully, respecting other people's rights, respecting law. It couldn't be said that they love human beings, but they are legal, abiding, healthy members of society. So the Rambam may be establishing a lower bar, but the higher bar of Ahavas Abrios may be too much for everyone, or too much to apply to every single person you meet, but you should still try to live in a healthy communal setting. On the other hand, the Rambam is reminding us that sometimes there are people that have the attitudes of Ahavas Abrios, and in theory, they're Socrates, when they read philosophy, they love human beings, but in practice, it's hard to implement them. Sometimes, even with Ahavas Yisrael, you can have people that sit and talk in the base manager about Ahavas Yisrael, then read Rav Kook, and they read Chassidus Sfarim, and then you go out into the real world, and people provoke you, and people anger you, and people get under your skin. So the Rambam is saying, don't just think about Ahavas HaBrios, the theoretical level, that you will love human beings, you know, the human beings that lived in the 18th century that you read about in the history books, or human beings that you read about in metaphysics about how they were created by God, but you also have to translate that into practice. That in your community, when you meet people, sometimes they challenge you and they test you, you still have to respond with equanimity and respect, tolerance, hopefully common interest, finding the common denominator. So in many ways, the Rambam, by migrating this from an attitude to a behavioral practice, on the one hand, he may be establishing something more attainable. Okay, you don't love human beings, but at least be a healthy, productive member of society. Don't be a hermit. Don't live in a solitary environment. Number two, the Rambam may be reminding us, as much as your attitudes are valuable, try to translate them and implement them. But in general, it's the value of community, the value of family, the value of living with people. Judaism doesn't celebrate meditative, lonely experiences, traveling to forests and jungles, separating yourself from the evils of society. We're based, and so much of halacha anchors us to society. It's very hard to process kosher meat for yourself. Typically, we congregate together in groups of communities. And it's very hard to make a minyan by yourself. It's very hard to build a mikvah for you. There's so many halachos that are better, not just the mitzvahs that are communal, because most of those mitzvahs no longer apply today. We don't really have a communal identity because we don't have a base of mikdash, we don't have a Sanhedrin. But even personal mitzvahs, it's very hard to perform many of the personal mitzvahs by yourself. So, especially in today's world, we no longer have a frontier. 200 years ago, people would travel to strange places and be by themselves. Today, Baruch Hashem, most Jews live more or less in communal settings with critical masses of at least a few people. But there were people who lived solitary lives in the great frontier, the great outdoors, the great outback, the great American West frontier. And it's actually a very interesting sefer put out in the 19th century by an American rabbi living on the West Coast in Oakland or something, how to build your own mikveh. With all these people were going out in the great gold rushes of the middle part of the 19th century, 1849, and had to learn how to make a mikveh. So we had a do-it-yourself mikveh kit, how to build wood ramparts and wood piping from the roof down to a mikveh. Baruch Hashem, today we have mikvehs in cities, and we try to stay within large masses of Jewish communities. Okay. Mitzvah Hashem, we're starting a new parak on Thursday, Parak Shivas, Erev Yasa. Have a good day. Have a good lover of humanity. Humanistic day today. You're welcome.